for being with us today.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12? Hebrews chapter number 12. I want to say it is a privilege for me to be here this morning, and I'm very grateful. I've appreciated Bob and his family for many years. When I was younger, Bob was a dear friend to pastor where I got saved, Eugene Whalen, now in heaven with our Lord. And I am very grateful. So I got to meet Bob throughout the years. He's been such an encouragement and a blessing, and I'm very thankful. I was saved here in Independence and grew up here, and very grateful. I went both public school, Christian school, graduated from a Christian school, very thankful. And not long after I graduated, well, right before I graduated, I surrendered my life to be a missionary and take the gospel. And Lord had put that on my heart, and very clearly, I left Independence. I went down to Tennessee. I met my wife there. I was in Bible college. I met my wife there, and we got married right after. My father-in-law had this crazy rule that you have to graduate before you get married. And I thought, good night, you know, I was born to get married. What in the world kind of dumb idea is that, you know? And so, anyway, I'm a pretty patient guy. I had a rough time in school with studying and those different things, but whatever happened, I had a great motivation to get married. And so I was able to do 4 years into 3 years at college, you know. With the right motivation, anybody can do anything, amen, you know. And so I graduated early, and then patience is that great virtue that I possess. And so a week and a half after graduation, I got married, praise the Lord, amen. And I was about to wait no longer. And Lord was good. My wife and I, we got married. And that weekend, we got married on a Monday. That weekend, we started raising our funds to get down to the country of Argentina. We traveled the United States for about a year and a half. And right after that, we arrived down to South America. We learned the language of Spanish. And while we were there, God began to give us children. My first daughter was born about a month right before I left the United States. My second daughter was born in Peru when we were in language school. My third daughter was born in Argentina. We had arrived to Argentina. Now we were ministering. And my fourth daughter was born in Argentina. We came back to the U.S. and we were on a visit. My son was born. And I said, we have to stop crossing borders. We're having too many kids, you know. And so we stopped right there. God was good to us. We lived and served in Argentina. God allowed us to start churches down there. And a radio ministry and a prison ministry and a Bible college. And things were just going well. And God seemed to be blessing. And we were back in 2012 on a visit to the United States, just to kind of update of what God was doing. And God once again kind of changed our ministry and our focus. And we returned back to the United States, went down to Atlanta, and that's where we've been ever since, the last 11 years. And God now lets us, I get to serve over a lot of missionary families. I'm very grateful for that and help them. And then I serve over a missions college, a mission school that helps young people get to the mission field. And God's sending a lot in. We just accepted a new missionary last Monday. And now God, throughout this full time, we're accepting a lot of new missionaries. And God's got us out of a slump and ready to roll again. And I'm so grateful for what God's doing. And I want to say thank you for allowing me to be with you all this morning. My family and I are very grateful. At this stage of life that God has us in, I've got, as I mentioned to you, I've got five children. It's kind of divided. My son and my daughter, 11-year-old, 13-year-old, then we call them Family A and Family B. My others are 19, 20, and 22. And so we got a little division right there. And my oldest daughter, she's now married. And next month, my second daughter is getting married. And then 3 months after that, my third daughter will be getting married. So you pray for sanity at this time in our life. My wife is, you know, trying to balance and help, you know, each of our daughters. They wanted to get married September and October. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, like, one, there's a lot of this wedding planning. Now, I won't lie. I don't do any wedding planning. I have no idea. I really don't care, you know. And my wife, she does all that part. I'm thinking more of, do you know that this, whoever started this really ignorant American tradition that dad pays for the wedding? Like, who thought about that anyway? You're like, what a dumb idea, you know? Some traditions have to be kicked out the door, you know? And but anyway, and so I said, you got to give dad some time to recuperate before we go into, you know, death zone 101 again, you know? And somebody said, did you hit the lottery or what? And I said, no, but if I rob a bank, you're going to know what's going on, right? But God's been good. We're very thankful. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. Hebrews chapter 12.
And allow me just to, if you got a pen, we'll underline a couple different things and maybe study this passage here. Before we get down to the entire passage of maybe dissecting it, maybe pulling out some things, we're going to run a little bit everywhere through the scripture. And so if we could, let's do this if we can. Everybody raise your right hand. Some of you are confused, like, why? Are we about to swear something? They're not. No, just raise your right hand. If you don't know which is right, raise any. I can't tell the difference from here anyway. All right, we're going to look at several different scriptures. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice, all right? So pinky, your index finger pointing towards the sky. Everybody right there, ready? All right, good. Now bend your finger down halfway. All right, now point it this way. All right, halfway. Good, we're going to get the exercises going, all right? Here we go. All right, we're going to turn to a lot of portions of Scripture, all right? And now you're ready to roll. Now we're ready to go. Now we're going to look at a lot of different ones, right? If you say, I use other fingers, it's all right. Use whatever one you want, right? But we're going to go to a lot of portions of Scripture. We're going to end back up in Hebrews chapter number 12, and we're going to dissect this portion of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll begin in verse number 1, and we'll go down to verse number 2, and we'll stop there. We'll see the matter of which we're going to study. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says this in verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse number 2, you know this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you have a copy of the Word of God and you have a pen with you, would you underline those first three words in verse number 2? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, you might, throughout your devotional time, or maybe through a preaching time, maybe a study that Bob was doing through here, you might already have that underlined and maybe even highlighted, maybe circled, and many different thoughts there. And I realize this is what a wonderful portion of Scripture. And much of the Word of God, it's not something maybe that we learn anew. Many things that we grow by are old things. The book of Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books. Book of Proverbs is my favorite book. But the book of Deuteronomy is kind of the book of Proverbs of the book of the law, or of the first five books of the Bible. And the book of Deuteronomy is a cover of only 30 days. In other words, everything that was said in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, now it's repeated right before Moses leads them across the Jordan River there. Right before they go across that Jordan River, they're repeated and they're reminded once again, everything that was repeated in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, they repeat. And so the book of Deuteronomy is over a one-month span of time. And it's just a repetition of everything. You know why? Because repetition is the mother of all learning. Many times we want to learn something new. Many times we want to grow deep and go deep. And that's all right. But many times what we need to do, we already know. Remember what James chapter 4 says? He that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is what? Sin. We know. Many times I grew up in church, and before I was saved, for many years I would cause havoc in our church. And I always loved chocolate chip cookies. Anybody like chocolate chip cookies? God bless the grandma who created those things. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday we were at the state fair. Who was it, Danny, that bought that whole bucket of cookies? Like, I mean, that's like my love language right there. You know, like, I'm like, give me those, baby. You know, I mean, they were good and everything. But you know what? I used to go into church, and as I would go into church, I would go into the nursery and I would steal the chocolate chip cookies out of the nursery. And I know that's wrong. I would like to justify it by saying I was just trying to help the little kids so they didn't get cavities, you know, when they get older, right? But you know, I used to go in there just in case preacher went a little bit longer, man, I'd have the cookies. And man, I used to, you know, my pastor never had to preach a message on, let me give you five reasons of why it is wrong to steal cookies from the nursery. Nobody had to preach that to me. I knew exactly what that was. And you know, many times we don't necessarily need a message. We just need to be reminded of what we already know. So right here we see a portion of Scripture of what you very well know, looking unto Jesus. So our theme throughout this morning, looking unto Jesus. So I want to break it down in a couple different steps here. If we're going to look unto Jesus, first of all, we must realize where not to look in our lives. Where are we not supposed to look? So if I was to say, follow me, and you're like, all right, obviously if you go the opposite way, you're not following, right? The Lord says, look to me. If you're not looking his way, then obviously we have. So let's talk about where not to look. Before we get to this portion of scripture, let's talk about where we're not supposed to look. So follow with me very quickly, and our fingers will move quickly. Romans chapter number 12. Now we're going to end back up in Hebrews chapter 12. So don't lose your place, but we're going to go on a long journey of several different passages of scripture before we end up back there. Romans in chapter number 12 in your Bible. Romans chapter number 12. Looking unto Jesus. So where are we not supposed to look in our lives? Look at this, Romans chapter 12. We'll jump down to verse number 3 and look what it says here. For I say through the grace given unto me. That's the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of God. He's speaking to these Christians that are in Rome. Look what he says. I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man, every person that is among you. Look at this next portion here. Not to think of who? Not to think of who? Himself. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, what God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So where are we not supposed to look? So we'll start our journey now. Where are we not supposed to look? First of all, what we're not supposed to look is to ourselves. Many times we have an inflated view of ourselves, right? Of we're so good and we've got so much, we've learned so much. And here's what the Bible says. Let no man think higher than he ought to think of himself. May we be careful, dear friend. One of the greatest sins that the devil grabs a hold of, that sin of pride, right? And we jump on that bandwagon and we start thinking of ourselves. So, and we go through the scripture, there's probably about 21 of them. He says, prefer one another and honor one another and love one another and exhort one another and serve one another. You remember all these one another verses? Why? We're to get our eyes off of ourselves. If we're to look to Jesus, he said, first of all, before we talk about looking unto Jesus, let me tell you where not to look. Don't look to yourself. Remember what Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge or recognize the Lord, and he'll direct your paths. Realize that it's not all about you. Sometimes we think, you know what, I have all that I have because of me. No, you don't. You have all you have because of God. Realize that all your talents, realize all your treasure, realize all your time, realize everything that you are and everything that you were and everything that you will be, it's because of God, not because of you. Now, we must work at that. We must kindle the fire that God has placed within inside of us, but realize all that we are and all that we ever will be, it's because of God, not because of us. So we're not to look, don't look to ourselves. But let me show you another very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, if we're to look to Jesus, where are we not to look? Well, we're not to look to ourselves, thinking that we know or we can do it. Or in fact, in verse number 1, it said, the sin that doth so easily beset us. What does that mean? There's things that you and I, we might have different issues, yet we all have our issues, right? Sometimes we look and say, well, he's got a bigger issue than I have. Don't do that. But you know, we all have our issues. There's sins that doth so easily beset us. So dear friend, remove all obstacles. Remove anything that might beset you. Don't think that you can handle it. You say, I'm too big. No temptation can get me. Are you crazy? The devil would love to take advantage of the situation. Don't put yourself in bad air. Don't look to yourself. Look to Jesus, right? But not only look to ourselves, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. You know this portion of scripture, verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Or look at this next part. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. Look at these next three words. What does it say? They are not, what does it say? Wise. It's not wise. So where are we to look? We're to look to Jesus. But let's talk about where we're not to look. We're not to look to ourselves. But number two, we're also not to look to others. Now we're to put others before us, but we're not to look to others. Simply meaning that we're not supposed to be comparing. Do you know when we compare, only two things can happen? We become very prideful because, well, I'm not as bad as that fellow, you know? I mean, good night. He's got it rough. I mean, sometimes I think I'm bad, but poo-hoo, you see him? And so we look and we compare ourselves. So it's pride, right? And the other side of that is discouragement. We never measure up. And so here's what the Bible says. They that compare themselves among themselves, they are not wise. You know, when you're riding a horse, if you fall on the right side or you fall on the left side, you still fall off the horse, right? And so you look and you begin to compare yourself and you say, well, I'm not, you know, I'm a lot better than him, or I'm absolutely nothing. Now I'm destroyed. Now I don't want to go to church because I'm not as good at. We compare ourselves, and this is what the Bible says. We're to look to Jesus. We're not to look. Don't look to ourselves. Also, don't look to others. Let me give you another one real quick. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, I realize that all these are reminders of things that you already know. But before we get to looking to Jesus, we must realize where we should not look in our lives. Isaiah chapter number 26 in your Bible. Isaiah, so we're flipping over the Old Testament, one of those major prophets, not because major, because it's better than, but because it's major, it's a larger portion. So Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, some of those are major prophets because they're longer, they're more extensive. So the minor prophets are major. We're going to the major prophet of Isaiah. And look what happens here in Isaiah, chapter number 26. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Now, you realize the context here that God is speaking to Israel. But there's so many lessons for you and I, so much that God has for us. Look what it says here in verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him, Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, look what it says, his mind is stayed, it's stuck, it's focused on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So where are we not to look? We're supposed to look to Jesus, we realize that. Where are we not to look? We're not to look to ourselves, we're not to look to others. And the third one here in Isaiah chapter 26, we're not to look at the obstacles. He says, perfect peace have they, which love the law, perfect peace have they, and he said, whose mind is stayed, its focus is stuck on thee. When you look at the obstacles, the problems are big. But when you look at the power of God, the problems are small, right? You remember David went out there before Goliath and everybody trembling in their boots and everybody, oh my goodness, even Saul, that's the head and shoulders above absolutely everybody, says, good night. I mean, this guy's a giant. Look at him. You know, I always like to imagine, I mean, you know, Goliath was over 9 foot tall. They say that your hand, you know, it goes, I don't know, almost half of your body length. So 9 foot, you know, put another 3, you know, let's just say 3. And I mean, you got at least another, now he's 12 foot. Can you imagine the dude on your basketball team? Hey, Goliath. You know, like, he makes Shaquille O'Neal look like a little girl, you know? I mean, he's a man. Like, you know, you don't even have to be good. Like, Goliath, he's like, ah, boom. You know, somebody gets ready to shoot, he's like, ah, boom. You know, like, what a man, you know. But you know what? When David went down there, everybody was looking at the size of the giant, and David was looking at the size of his God. When you and I, dear friend, if we're going to look to Jesus where we cannot look, don't look to ourselves, don't look to others comparing ourselves, but don't look at the obstacles. If you begin to look at the obstacles, all of a sudden fear will tremble, get in. And when fear goes through your body, it paralyzes you and you can't move. You say, I can move, but spiritually speaking, you become discouraged. You don't want to do it. You can't move forward in your life. And so many Christians are paralyzed by the fear in their life, and they can't move forward. You know why many people don't tell people about Jesus? We get scared to death. We could talk to anybody, but when all of a sudden we bring up the idea about, let's talk about the Lord, all of a sudden we get scared, right? There's so many different, I'm not about the singer, I'm not about the lead, or I'm not about the help, I'm not about to invite anybody, because fear goes through it. Don't look at the obstacles in your life. Look at the opportunities that God can use those obstacles, right? Look at what God can do through those things. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So when God sends an obstacle your way, say, oh Lord, help me. That peace that He's speaking of is that same peace from Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. You remember that? And the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God, it'll be with you. What does it mean, all understand? In other words, you can be in the middle of a storm and you can be calm as all get out. Why? Because you could have peace in the middle of a storm. When the world is frantically running around like chickens with their head cut off saying, we can't do it, you know, things are happening. We can be so calm because our God is with us. The obstacles, don't look at them. We can even speak about those obstacles, but go with me very quickly. Let me take you to one more, Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Looking unto Jesus, we know where to look, but we're speaking about where not to look. Before we get to where to look and how, we're talking about where not to look. We're not to look to ourselves. We're not to look at others. We're not to look at the obstacles. Let me give you one more very quickly. Luke in chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. So New Testament, we're Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. So we're right there in the third book, the book of Luke, written by this doctor, this medical man. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62, coming down the very end. The account of our Lord Jesus Christ, look what it says here, verse number 62. Luke chapter 9, the very last verse of the portion of Scripture of this chapter, look what it says. And Jesus said unto him, no man, no person, no boy, no girl, no whatever, no man having put his hand to the plow, look at this part, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So dear friends, where are we supposed to look in our lives? Well, if we're to look to Jesus, we can't look to ourselves. We can't look to others. We can't look to the obstacles, how big they are. But we also can't look over our shoulder. Now, this can go two different ways, looking over our shoulder, thinking everything was perfect back then. If I can just get it back then, no, dear friend, we'll never get the genie back in the bottle. You know, if I only had it like when I was younger, if I only had it like whenever, whatever it was, or when I had more money, or when I didn't have any, whatever it is, looking over your shoulder, wishing and trying to live in the past. You know, Humpty Dumpty, everybody knows, right? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men, they can't put the past back together again. And we'd like to put the past and we'd like to create it again. And all this, we can look at the pro side of all the good things, that all the wonderful days. And praise the Lord for the good memories. But I'm talking about living in the past. But I'm also talking about that other side of looking over our shoulder and not getting over our past. You know, many people, because of a tragic whatever it may be, can never get over their past. Maybe something bad happened to you. And maybe it's real. I'm not diminishing the idea that it's real, or that it wasn't big, or it wasn't tragic. Or I when we were in Argentina, we preached, and many times it would break my heart that many of the little girls that were 8, 9, and 10 years old that were sitting right there were abused by their uncles and their brothers and other people. And man, I so much wanted to get the old gladiator outfit on and go and beat the slop out of the punks that were doing that to them. And I hurt for them, and many of them would get saved, and they would try to go forward. And all of a sudden, as they would try to go forward, look to Jesus and serve the Lord, all of a sudden their past would yank them back down, and the devil would whisper in their ear, "You remember when that happened? You remember? You'll never be used for God. You'll never have in our past, dear friend." Listen, you can do nothing about the past. Learn to give that up and learn to follow the Lord. You'll never be able to look to the Lord while you're looking back in the past. You notice it's wonderful in a car that you have. Did you notice that the rear view mirror is so much smaller than the big window that we got right in front of us? But many times we try to look right in the rear, we try to live our lives like we're looking back in the rear view mirror. You're going to get in a crash, dear friend. Stop, you won't make it forward. You must look right through the windshield and go forward in your lives. So where are we not to look? If we're supposed to look to Jesus, we're not supposed to look to ourselves. We're not supposed to look at others, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, to not be wise. We're not to look at the obstacles, though they are real, though they are big. We must realize that there's an obstacle mover, right? There's a chain breaker. There's somebody who can get rid of those. And we're also not supposed to be looking over our shoulder. So let me take you to another portion of Scripture very quickly, and we'll go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, looking unto Jesus. So I spoke to you, and I shared with you what you know so well, where we're not supposed to put our eyes. We know where not to put our eyes. Let me show you very quickly where to look in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, very quickly. And we're covering a lot of ground to get back to Hebrews chapter 12 in just a moment here. Colossians in chapter 3 in your Bible. And look what it says here. So we know where not to look, where are to we to look. Now look very quickly in the book of Colossians in chapter 3 and look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, now you're a child of God. If you be risen with Christ, seek the things which are where? Above. Where Christ sits on the right hand, and sit on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things where? Above. Not on the things of the earth. So dear friends, where are we not to look? We're not to look to ourselves and to others and the obstacles and over our shoulder. Where are we to look? We're to look above. Look at the things above, simply meaning that we can get so focused that we begin to look at all the things in front of us, and God says, no, 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 eyes right here, eyes right here. My son many times will get off course and we'll be doing something. I say, hey, buddy, look at dad. And he'll be, whether he's crossing the river, trying to go over, or whatever it is, look, hey, buddy, look at dad, look right here. And many times our Lord says, quit looking at all the mess that there is in the world. Look right here. Quit looking at the distractions that are so besetting you to get you off. Look right here. Quit looking and getting so discouraged. Look right here. He says, where am I to look? He said, look at the things above. Our feet must be placed here. We know that. We have to walk here on the earth. But our eyes must be placed up there, dear friend. We can keep going, but our eyes must. You remember what he said? That those that are stayed, their eyes are stayed and they're focused on him. When your mind is focused on the Lord, all the little things don't begin to bother you. In Psalm 119, what is it? Verse 165. Great peace have they which love the law and nothing shall offend them. That obstacle that's in the way that so disturbs you, that so bothers you, and all of a sudden when your eyes are focused on him, you're like, get out of my way. And you just keep on walking. You keep on moving. If not, dear friends, people will bother you and things will bother you and headaches and all the trials of this world will bother you. But keep focused on Him. What is Matthew 6, verse number 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things, the things that we run after for the great American dream, the things that we want with our, I want all of this, all these things, they'll be added to you. Don't get your priorities out of whack. When you get your priorities out of whack, just keep, remember, look to Him. That's what we must do. Go with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Where not to look? Well, we know where not to look. Where to look? Look at the things above. Matthew chapter 16. This time the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the Apostle Peter. You know who Peter is, right? He's the fellow with the shoe-shaped mouth, right? I mean, every time he just opens mouth and inserts foot, you know? Sometimes we'll be at a table with some friends or something, and it gets quiet. And when it gets quiet, my wife gets nervous. And the reason she gets nervous is because I don't do quiet so well, so sometimes I'm like, I'll just say something. And usually what I say preemptively, not ready, I really say some dumb things. You're like, yeah, we're listening to you right. No, I'm saying even worse though, you know? I mean, it gets really rough, you know? And so I was like, don't say anything. You know, here's a good piece of advice. If you don't have anything to say, don't be obligated to say it. You know, I mean, boy, but here comes Peter and he's like, I got a good idea, Lord. And at this time, the Lord said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. They're going to nail me to a cross. I'm going to die. And Peter all of a sudden stops and he says, don't go there. And look what the Lord said. I mean, like, Peter, like, did you even think through what you're about to say? Once again, you know, he's always saying something dumb. Don't go there. And here's what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 23. But he turned, Jesus, unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, what in the world? You know, if you got a friend and he turns back to you and says this, you're like, seriously, dude? Like, what did I do wrong? Look what he says here. Get thee behind me, Satan. But why did he say that? This wasn't an insult. Look what he's saying. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Your focus is in the wrong place. Where are you not to look? Yeah, we know where not to look. Where are you to look? Look at the things above, but also, dear friend, look to the things of God. When we savor the things around us, when we savor the wrong things, he says, hey, that's the devil's whispering in your ear. Man, you're off track. Get it right. Don't look at those different things. Go to one more, Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, and after Psalm 119, we'll quickly make our way back to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Psalm 119, very quickly, longest book in the Bible, longest scripture or chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, and look if you would. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm 119 and verse number 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Speaking of the Word of God, he said, would you open my eyes that I can see the things that you have for me, God? Open my eyes, the marvelous things. So where are we not to look? We know where not to look. Where are we to look? The things above and the things of God. And now we're to look to the Word of God. This right here, dear friend, and if we go a couple more verses that way, towards the end, in Psalm 119, verse number 105, thy word, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. How we know how to live in this deep and nasty and dark and confused and wicked world. It's so dark. And how do we know how to raise our kids? And how do we know how to have a good marriage? And how do we know how to have a good testimony or a good job? Whatever it is, we say, I don't know. I never studied those different things. That's what the Bible says. This is a lamp unto your feet and it's a light unto your path. You don't have to know you don't have to be a smart guy or a smart girl. You don't have to have an education. It doesn't matter what your grades were. I remember in high school they said, you know what, you better get a GPA, a good GPA. You know, praise God, I've never had anybody ask me my grades in school. Usually I tell them beforehand, you know. I mean, the best 3 years of my life were in fourth grade, buddy. I mean, I was growing facial hair by the time I was in fifth grade. You know? But anyway, I mean, man, I had a rough time. But you know, all those things. But listen, let me tell you what does matter. The Word of God. And you and I, as a child of God, we speak about the Word of God, but many times we're not in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. And as you get into the Word of God will get in you. Your life begins to change. We are to renew our mind by the Word of God. The way that we think, the way that maybe that you grew up or the things that you heard or whatever influenced your life. How do we change those things? That's my default setting. No, no, no. He says, you can renew your mind. You can refresh it. You can get it all. You can reboot the whole thing by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is your answer. How do I know how to raise my kids? There's so much confusion around whether it's gender, whether all the things. How do I know? He says, this right here in the dark world, it's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light on your path. Keep following Him. He'll show you the way. How do I know how in my marriage or whatever it may be? God will show you the way, dear friend. What God does not say directly in a command, God gives in a principle. But God's Word, so where are we not to look? We know. Don't look to ourselves. Don't look to others. Don't look at the obstacles. Don't look over our shoulder. Where do we look? The things above. The things of God. And the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Now grab a pen and let's begin our study very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll spend this portion. Here's where our meat of the message is right here. Hebrews chapter 12. I won't be long, but Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go one more time in verse number 1 if we could. Grab a pen. Hebrews chapter 12. Now we remember verse number 2. There's our text right there. Now we're going to look above and look below, and we're going to get the context to see what God has to teach us, what God has to say right here. Verse number 2, it said, looking unto Jesus. And we underline that, and that's what we're doing. We know where not to look. We know all that, but now we're to look unto Jesus. But when are we to look unto Jesus? And here comes the question, when? We know that we're to look to Jesus. We know where not to look. We know where to look. But when are we to look to Jesus? So this text is going to answer the question for us. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing that we're also compassed about with such great a cloud of witness, lay aside, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. Look at these next few words right here. Race that is set before us. So when are we to look to Jesus? Number one, we're to look to Jesus in the race. You know, life, you know this very well. This is nothing new. This is nothing that you would, oh my, never thought about. Life is like a race, but it's not like a sprint. It's like a marathon. I remember when I was a kid, I'd run in a 100-yard dash, blow it out and give it all, you know, like, ah, you know, run with your head up, stick your tongue out, didn't really matter. But give it your all, man. I mean, you're about, you could see the line. Man, it's so easy. But you know, in life, you don't see the finish line. It's a race. And man, it gets tiring. Man, you're like, oh, Lord. And, I mean, this race in which we are, it's some ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster. You know what a roller coaster does, right? I have no idea why anybody in their right mind. When I was a kid, I rode a roller coaster. Now that I'm a mature adult, well, mature is still to be spoken for, my wife says. But an adult anyway, I don't ride roller coaster. Why? Like, what do you give you a free pass to a chiropractor when you get off the thing? I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It rolls you, it goes up and down and all around, rips your neck to pieces, and you're like, oh, Lord, was that awesome? Like, oh, yeah, it was great. You're like, man, I can't even see straight, you know? But you know what? That's what life does to us, doesn't it? It rips you all around, up and down. You just man, you can't, how do I even stay steady, Lord? How do I continue, Lord? And this is what the Bible said, hey, have some patience. In that race that he tells us, he said, one portion of that race, he said, now set aside anything that you know is your weakness, that temptation that does so easily beset you. I served many years in South America, and many of the young men would come back and it would be the same thing and said, I fell, preacher, and hey, praise God, you know, just man, you know, any man falls down, but just man, he stands back up 7 times. Get back up, buddy. Let's keep on going. God's still with you. The steps of good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in the way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. Lord upholds him in his hand. We don't have to keep falling, but to not keep falling, get rid of whatever sin that does so easily beset. Set it aside. Dear friend, what is in your race that is so distracting you from the things of God? Set it to the side. Don't do that. I remember one time in Argentina, a man came up. He said, Pastor, Pastor, what's the matter? I fell again. I can't do this. I said, well, tell me what happened. Man, I went home and I got drunk and I'm just, okay. Listen, buddy, walk me through it real quick. I said, I walked over, man, I opened the fridge and there was all this alcohol was there. And I didn't want to. I said, no. And all of a sudden I grabbed it. Next thing I knew, I pulled it. I said, did you know that your brain controls your arm as well? Like, this is an easy fix. This is one of the easier ones. Praise God. I said, I got a good idea. How about we get rid of all that stuff out of the fridge and I think we're going to be all right. I mean, the sin that does so easily beset you, whether it was this person, this girl, this guy, whether it was whatever it is, you know, you say, it's what I look at it on my phone at night. All right, how about we plug it in on the other side? We don't have to make this so spiritualized that we don't understand it. No, dear friend, if there's a sin that does so easily beset you, put it to the side so that it doesn't obstruct your relationship, your communication with God. By the way, you know a principle about communication? When there's good communication, there's a good relationship. When there's no communication, there's no relationship, right? Yet we say, I love God. When was the last time you talked to Him through prayer? When was the last time you let Him talk to you through His Word? Right? With no communication. So what is obstructing? Sin is what... So it obstructs our area. When I was growing up, we had it was called a party line. So everybody on our road used to be on the same phone. So aggravating. And there were a couple, let's say, sweet old ladies at the end of the road that were always on the phone. And so I would get on and, you know, if my dad would find out, he'd say, son, just wait until she's done. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know? I've got to pick it up. And when you pick it up, someone say, is somebody else there? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Put it up. Well, man, I mean, I'm a little persistent. There's a fine line. I tell our missionaries, there's a fine line between being annoying and being persistent. Learn to ride that line. And so I'd pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, my bad. I'd wait about 30 more seconds. Oh, my bad. You're still on. Oh, looky there. Still gossiping. How about that? Hanging out. You're like, what in the world? Just leave them alone until they're done. I'm thinking, just let me have the phone. Look, you know, so-and-so is with him, and she's doing this. Like, get over yourselves and hang up the stupid phone. I mean, but, you know, whenever that party line, whenever there was static, whenever there was a person, you couldn't make your call. Listen, when there's sin between us and God, it obstructs our conversation. Get rid of it. He said, you're in a race, dear friend. When do we look to Jesus? In the race, every day of our lives. He said, put it down in that patience that we need to get through there. But look at verse number 3. Jump down to verse number 2. It told us to look to Jesus. Now, when are we to look to Jesus? Verse number 1, in the race. Jump down to verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Look at this next part. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So not only are we to look to Jesus in the race of life, you know, the race is long, the race has it, but also we're to look to Jesus when we're tired. You know, life has a way of wearing us down, doesn't it? I mean, just, man, it just, we get weary, we get tired. Here's what Galatians chapter 6, you remember that? Let's not be weary. Same one here. Let's not be weary in well-doing, when you're doing the right thing. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. If we stop now, we might not see the blessings of God. Let's be honest. Not every Sunday morning do you feel like getting up and coming to church. Why is it that sometimes the best sleep is Sunday morning? You know what I'm saying? Like, does anybody else have that issue? I'm like, yeah, man, the demons of the sheep come upon me. Like, yeah, don't take me off. You're like, no, I'm like, no, get away from me. Get the hints, Dayton. You're like, man, it's so hard. You know, the devil does everything. Sometimes we just get tired. I've been giving my tithes and offering for a long time. And Lord, it just seems like things are not easy. And we get tired. Lord, I've been witnessing to my neighbors and my coworkers and friends. God, it just done. Lord, I've been praying for my kids for so long. And Lord, nothing is changing. God, I've been, fill in the blanks. And God, I am so tired. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. You're going to reap if you faint not. We are going to, dear friends. He said, look to Jesus. Well, when am I to look to Jesus? Even when you're tired and you want to get down and you want to veg out, still look to the Lord, dear friend. Still at that moment, look to the Lord, he said, because if not, well, you just get off track. You quit. One of the greatest tools of the devil today is discouragement. So many Christians are walking around that they can do, they can witness, they can help, they can speak, they can invite, they can do so many things. But because we're discouraged, we know we're not going to hell as a child of God. But because we're discouraged, now we don't do what God has called us to do. Now we're not serving Him. Now we're not being faithful to Him. And this is what He says. Hey, when you're weary and you're tired, it's going to happen. We all get tired. I remember in sports when I was younger, and we'd run, and man, I mean, after we'd run for a long time, you got like cotton in your mouth, you know? It's like, man, your mouth is so dry, and you know, you're looking, and here's the coach. He's standing over there with the McDonald's Diet Coke. He said, run, boys! And I'm thinking, I'm going to run over there, grab that, and knock it over your head. Like, you know, I'm not doing, and I know I didn't have the greatest attitude. I'm still working on that. You know, it's one of those sanctification areas. But anyway, man, I would think, seriously, it's right for you, big boy, to drink your drink over there and yell at us to keep running. I'm tired. You know, I mean, today you'd probably get sued if you tell, run, little buddy. You're like, I mean, good night, but, you know, and keep running. I'm tired. And sometimes in life we say, Lord, I'm tired. 1 Corinthians 15:58, you remember what it says? Finally, brother, be steadfast and unmovable. And this is what he says. Always abounding, advancing, going forward, growing, moving in your life. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen to this. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything else in this world, it'll be burnt up with the wood and hay and stubble. I mean, say, this is the best restaurant or whatever. Man, nothing wrong with any of that. But you know what? It just goes away. But what you do for the Lord, it matters for eternity. When are we to look to Jesus? We know where we're not supposed to look, to ourselves and to others and the obstacles over our shoulder. We know all that, but we're to look to Jesus. Okay, I got it. But when are we to look to Jesus? In the race, dear friend. And not only in the race, even when we're tired. Don't quit, dear friend. Remember Psalms 27, verse number 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And again, I say, wait. And I think, Lord, but I can't wait any longer. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I can't do it. Remember Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28 through 31. He said, then you'll read, hey, even the young people, their energy goes away. But those that wait on the Lord, that hope in the Lord, that stand in the Lord, that wait for His time, those that wait on the Lord, He shall be renewed. His strength shall have wings as eagles. You know that. Now, in Psalm 27, I mentioned you verse 14, to wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Again, I say, wait. But verse number 13, what a wonderful portion. In fact, when I was in high school, I graduated from Christian school, and I'm very grateful. And many times we'd have chapel services, and in those chapel services, we'd sing many little choruses. We'd sing songs that were Bible verses, and much memorization of the Bible for me came through singing, because music just has a way of it sticks with you. You know, I remember being in Argentina, and being in the taxi, and they'd be playing this, you know, this music that I listened to as a kid, and I'd start going like that, and I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like, what in the world? This is trash music, man. Like, the words of it, and like, you just come back to mind, like, I hadn't listened to this in 15 years, and here it comes up. And so I'd ask the guy, disculpame, señor, do you inglés? Do you understand English? No. I'm like, your music is in English? Like, ah, sí, yeah. But, all right, do you understand what the words are saying? No. But the music is in English. Uh-huh. Like, no. Okay, so do you understand the message is saying? Like, no. A mí me gusta. I like it. And I'm like, well, do you understand? No, absolutely. I'm like, well, you'll turn the trash off. It's killing me here, you know? And like, guy crazy. But you know, many music, it just does something for you. The book of Psalms is a Hebrew hymnal, you know? And they would sing. Well, anyway, verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Verse number 13 said, I had fainted, lest I believe to see the goodness of the Lord to me. And you know, many times we feel like fainting. Don't give up, dear friend. Don't throw in the towel. Let's not quit now. Let's keep on going forward. Hey, praise God. I got to be here about 4 years ago. Bob's always kind of allows me to be here and visit y'all. And I realize I don't know everybody. What a wonderful building that God gave me. Now you have your own building. I walked around here. Barbara showed me. And Lord have mercy. It's like it's like Corrie ten Boom. You got little rooms everywhere, dear friend. I mean, what in the world? I'm like, you know how many drugs you can stash here? No, I'm just kidding. You know, like, I mean, you got rooms everywhere. I know I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. Usually it's my wife like, stop. Don't go anymore. You know, but you know how you can, all kinds of rooms. I better stop while I'm ahead. Anyway, do you know, I mean, what a beautiful place. But listen, this isn't the end that God has for you. This is on the road that God has for you. God might want to break out these walls. God might want to start two services. God might want to do it. Listen, but if we stop and faint and get weary now, we'll never see the blessings of God. Don't quit, dear friend. God has so much more for us ahead. God, I heard about these young people that were saved in camp. Praise God. How many other camps? More kids will be saved. More people will get right. More people will come to Jesus. But it won't happen if we stop now. She said, looking unto Jesus, but when? In the race of life that jerks you up and down and all around. But when are we to look to Jesus? Even when we become weary. Let me show you another one very quickly. Verse number 4. Look what the Bible says here. Ye have not yet resisted. Look at these verbs that he uses here. You're not resisted unto blood. Look at that. Striving against sin. So we know where we're not supposed to look. We know when we're supposed to look, where to look, but now when we look to Jesus, we're looking at Him in the race every day. We're to look at Him when we're tired and it happens in life, but we're also to look to Him in the battle. In the battle, He said, resist. There's blood. So you got to strive. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep going forward. But what about the battle? You remember in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, buddy, we're in a battle. This war that we're in, this isn't country against country. This isn't armed against armed. This isn't, you know, flying drones or shooting guns or missiles. This is not that kind of war. The war in which we live, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My issue is with him, that guy or that girl, or my neighbors or those people, or my issue is with this paperwork, whatever it may be, financial or medical or whatever. That's not your real issue. We're in a spiritual war. And he says, as you're in that spiritual war, dear friend, don't give up. As you're in that spiritual war, keep looking to Jesus. He can help you. He can give you the energy. He can give you the strength. He can give you a strategy. He can give you exactly what you need. But keep fighting, dear friend. Keep striving. It is against blood. So many times we look and we think that our real problem is with the guy, with the girl, with the person. No, it's not. Our real problem is the devil's trying to mess the whole situation up so he can just get us off track. Don't do it, dear friend. Let me show you one other very quickly. Look, if you would, you remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, our devil, be vigilant, you know, pay attention, look, watch, be vigilant for your adversary, your enemy, the devil. He's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not a little kitty cat to pet, not a sweet little thing to put in a cage and look at, not something that you let curl up with you. The devil wants to devour, he wants to destroy you. The Lord came, I came to seek and to save. You know, the devil on the other side, John said the devil came to destroy. He wants to kill. And so we're in a battle, dear friends. And the battle, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting against, but let me show you one other. Verse number 5, verse number 6, very quickly. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth. You know this. It comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11, 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth everyone whom he receiveth. I know where I'm not supposed to look. I'm supposed to look to ourselves and to others. Not to look at the big obstacles in my life, though they're there. I'm not supposed to look at my shoulder, although God's given me wonderful times and even hard times, but I'm not to look back at that. I'm supposed to look forward and to windshield that God's given me. We know where to look. Look to Jesus. We know all that. But when are we to look to Him? When? In the race every day. Even in the time that we're weary, we're discouraged, we're down, that we want to quit, that we want to faint, that we want to throw in the towel, say, I've had enough, I've got it up to here. Even look to Jesus in the battle. When things are rough and we don't understand. And by the way, I think it's interesting. There are many things to learn when there's rough times in our life. But as we look down here in verse number 5 and verse number 6, he says, even in the discipline, he chastens. He disciplines those who he loves. Now, this is kind of an awkward one, you know, like, what are we talking about? The discipline of the Lord. This isn't a bad thing. It means he loves you so much that sometimes he allows things into your life. Now, not every problem that we have, it's not a, you know, devil in the sound system type thing, you know? Not every problem we have is like, oh, there's a demon in my wheel. That's why I got a flat tire. No, you got a flat tire, knucklehead, because you ran over a nail, you know? Let's not overlook, you know, overthink this one, you know? Sometimes the analytical guy, he thinks about a 122 situation. I'm like, yep, pretty sure this is a lot more simple that a fellow like me can understand. You ran over a nail. You know, like, let's not be, you know. But anyway, sometimes things do happen because the Lord's showing us. And why do things happen? You know, you've always heard, and sometimes it's the great, I don't know, the atheist excuse. Why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? I have no idea. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, we're in a sinful world. It's not necessarily, it could be something that you did. It might not be something that you did. In the book of Psalm 119, verse number, allow me just to read it really quick. In Psalm 119, the psalmist David, after going through a hard time in his life, and it says this in verse number 69. It's helped me throughout many times in my life. Psalm 119, maybe it's not there. I thought it was there. It used to be there. Let's see. And that's why another reason I... Oh, here you are. I got her. the proud have forgotten a lie against me. Look at this, verse number 67. Before I was afflicted, before I had issues in my life, before I had tribulation, before I had hard times, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went my own way. I didn't care. It was like, everything's good. You know, I got money in my pocket. I'm healthy. All things are good. And all of a sudden, affliction came. What was it? I don't know. Maybe something that, you know, God used to wake them up. Maybe, I don't know, maybe sickness in the kids. Maybe a rough time. Maybe an issue. Whatever it was. But now, he said, okay, affliction's done. But now that I've been through this, now have I kept your word. You know, maybe God brings something into your life, dear friend, because he's trying to call your attention. Maybe God's bringing something into your life because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to go astray. Verse number 71, it is good for me. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, I have never been in a problem saying like, oh yeah, baby, I love this one. Like, what are you, some masochist? You enjoy suffering? You know, like, you weirdo? No, I'm just kidding. You know, like, what in the world? You know, like, oh yeah. This is what he says. He's already been through it. And he said, you know what? I was going astray. And he said, you know what? That big issue that happened in my life, that problem that happened in life, it was good for me. How in the world could you say this? That I might learn thy statutes. Now, the book of Psalm 119, every one of the 150 verses outside of probably three of them, it uses a different pronoun for the word, for the Bible. He said statutes and principles, precepts and commandments and all of them. And he said this time, he said, you know what? It was good for me. God woke me up, whatever issue I had. Listen, dear friend. And when you go through problems, don't think that God hates you. God loves you. We went through a rough, probably the worst 2 years of my life. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm moving. I'm going back to Argentina. Like, you know, not to be offensive, but like, let the Americans do what the Americans want to do. I don't give a rip. I'm going back to South America. That's my stomping ground. I understand those people. Everything's fine. Like, what is going on? We come on the other side of it, and there was some time I thought, Lord, I'm going to die. God, I'm supposed to be leading my family. I'm supposed to be helping my kids. I'm supposed to be leading my wife. And God, I'm supposed to be helping other people and students that you've given us and missionaries that you've given us, interns, guys that are in decisive stages. And I'm supposed to be helping all them. And Lord, I'm having, you know, like, let me be like the psalmist says, I wish I was like a dove, like take wings and fly out of here. I'm like, I don't even want to be here. God, why? And so many times your question, my question is, God, why? God, why would this happen? Sometimes, and by the way, God never says, you know, I mean, look at the book of Job. All these things happened to God, all these things that God allowed to happen to Job. And at the end of the book of Job, God says, pray for him. And God recuperates. God gives him all these blessings back. But you know, God never did explain. You and I know, because we read the narrative, that the devil was having this argument with the Lord. He said, do whatever you want, just don't kill him, you know, and all this. But Job never knows what happened. God never, you know, God doesn't have to explain to you. Your job is not to understand. Your job is to obey. And sometime in my humanity, I want to say, oh God, tell me why. And the Lord said, I don't have to tell you why. I still said, follow me. But Lord, it's rough. I still said, look to me. But God, I don't want to. I still said, keep your eyes on me. Remember when you were in baseball or softball or, you know, T-ball, whatever it is. And keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. I don't want to. And as soon as you look up there, the guy, strike. And you're like, no, I wasn't ready. Like, well, get away. Keep your eye on the ball, dear friend. God allowed those things, and I look back now, and there's so many things that happened, and I would have never wanted them to happen. I pray they never do again. But God used those things for His good. You know, when there's, I tell our students many times, when you don't know what to do, remember what you are supposed to do. You do know, even though you don't know many things, what you do know is that God still loves you, and all things work together for good. And God's still going to, nothing takes God by surprise. He doesn't say, oh man, didn't think about that one. Ooh, better watch out. I mean, He knows. So when you don't know what to do, remember what you're supposed to do. He said, even in the hard times, James chapter 1 talks about that joy and even the midst of the trials. You say, I can't be joyful. Don't be joyful in the trial that you have. Be joyful that God's going to use you and help you even through this trial. Looking unto Jesus. There's a story about a man who, he's walking on a path, and as he's walking on the path, there's this ginormous boulder. The guy can't go to one side, he can't go to another, he's got to get right through there. And the guy, as he looks at this big old boulder, he looks up at the guy and said, what am I supposed to do now? This is impossible. And he starts pushing. Yeah. Goes inside. I can't. God, no. Lord, you brought me all the way up here, and now you put this in my way. God, it's impossible. I can't do it. Look at everything about it, God. It's impossible. Everybody knows, God. Why would you do this to me? And the man complains, and he finally sits down, and as he cries out to God, Lord, I don't know. And the Lord said, I'm the one who put that there. No, you didn't, God, because you want only good for my life. He said, well, maybe I know a better good than you think. And by the way, God sees from a different view than you and I do. We might see in the obstruction of the trees are in our way, but God sees from a 30,000 feet or, you know, whatever. God sees way up there, and he can see the whole thing. And by the way, as God told Abraham, you remember, he said, Abraham, get thee hence to a land that I'll show you. And he never gave the GPS coordinates to Abraham. You know, he never even said, all right, I know it's not GPS days. Here you go. MapQuest has got it all ready, you know. Print that baby out. Or he didn't say, I'm going to tell. He said, go to a place I will show you. If it was me, I'd say, tell me now where I'm going. Let me decide on this one. I need to know if I need to, you know, put extra stuff in the backpack. I mean, like, if you're at the state fair, you know, you got something fried every 3 foot, you know. Like, I mean, here's a funnel cake. It's fried. Here's a Twinkie. It's fried. Here's an Oreo. It's fried. Here's potato chips. We fried them again, you know. Everything's fried, you know. Like, but Lord said, just go. But Lord, what if there's not food on the way? What if there's not water on the way? I'll show you. Sometimes our job is just by faith, dear friend, keep pushing forward. Don't walk by sight. Faith doesn't walk by sight. We walk by faith in our Lord. So this big old boulder is there, and the man's just been pushing and crying. The sun's been beating down upon him, and he just can't do it. He said, God, but why? This is not of you, and I know it's not of you, God. It wouldn't happen this way if it's from you, God. Lord, why? And the Lord said, I'm the one who put it there. But why? He said, look down at your arms. You see those muscles there? They would have never been there if you hadn't been pushing. Look to me. You know, the whole time you were out crying, and for a long time you hadn't talked to me up that path, and now you're looking up to me. And now every time there's an issue that happens, your dependence is upon me. This worked out exactly how I wanted it to work. And dear friends, we have boulders in our path many times, and those giants that are there, God can slay them if he wants. God can knock them out, and sometimes our prayers, Lord, remove this cup, and we always forget the nevertheless, thy will be done. We just pray that first time, God, get rid of it now where I'm not going forward. And the Lord said, no, you follow me forward no matter what. Dear friends, we are to look to Jesus. There's some places that we should not look. We know. Don't look to ourselves. Think that you got it. You know, everything's perfect. Look to Jesus. Don't look at others and begin to compare. Look to Jesus. Don't look at the big obstacles. Look to Jesus. Don't even look over your shoulder. Look to Jesus. We know what to look at, but when are we to look to him, dear friend? We're to look to him in the race of life. Each and every one of us, we're on that race. Until God calls us out and takes us home, we're on that race. And dear friends, there's sometimes that we get weary. We get tired. We say, God, I can't do it. But don't forget, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord to me. He's good to you. When was the last time you counted your blessings and said, God, you're good to me. Lord, please help me. I'm going to get my eyes off of the, you know, 10% that's going bad. I'm going to look at all the 90% that's going well. God, you're good to me. Lord's been so good. And dear friend, even in the hard times of life, when the trials and the tribulations, the temptation, everything, the afflictions happen in your life, look to Jesus. He doesn't let you go through that because he dislikes you. He lets you go through that because he loves you. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, verse number 17, all the way down to verse number 18, where he says that we're to exhort one another with these different things. That he teaches about the second coming, about the rapture, excuse me, about taking us out of here. And the trump, at that single moment when we'll all be raptured away. And then he goes down and he says, don't weep at those who have no hope. We have hope, dear friend. Even through a death that would be horrible. Even through a sickness. Even through whatever it may be, we say, God, I can't. The Lord says, yes, but I can. And so I ask you this morning, are you looking to Jesus? He has the answer for you. He has the answer for me. He has the answer for all of us. No excuses, dear friend. Look to Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love you and thank you. Oh, Lord, help us to look to you. God, such a simple, we all know this. We memorized it. We've sung about it. We've heard it. We've underlined it. We've highlighted it. God, we all know in theory all about it. But God, there's so many times in our lives that we don't look to you. God, I pray that you would be these sweet people, Lord. What a wonderful group, God. What an amazing... Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, you know the love I have for Bob and for this church, God, and how much it's helped so many people. But God, on this road of life that we're all on, I know that my friends here and my brothers and my sisters, they get tired. They go through the battle and they want to give up, God, but help us not be weary in well-doing. Help us to keep looking to you. We love you, Lord. As Bob concludes the service and he continues on the servant, Lord, may your will be done in our lives. God, whatever you want, our lives are yours. They're not ours. May we not be selfish. May we not be arrogant and egotistic and think that we belong to ourselves and that we got here ourselves. God, it's all because of you. We love you and we need you. May we look to you every day of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, buddy. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, that's why I love to have him come every time. He knows the Word of God. He can preach it well, and he communicates great, and we praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jeff, for everything, and good to see your family again, and we're just glad that you could be with us today. We're going to be dismissed just a moment, and for those of you that are visiting today or your birthday or special events, please make your way over to the bookstore, and I'll drop over there to help you with anything that you may want to see or know or understand. And look for a good week this week and for good Bible study. And next Sunday, we will...